pianist, composer, and educator Dr. Lewis Porter has been providing deep dive sessions for WBGO since 2017, when he did an in-depth look at pianist Art Tatum. His final segment took place this week with a deep dive into John Coltrane's Alabama, an emotional release from 57 years ago that was a reaction to the 1963 church bombing in Birmingham. I did a Google Meet chat with Dr. Porter this week to talk about his series, his amazing run at Rutgers Newark as a professor of music, and his latest release, Transcendent, on Sunnyside Records. Great to see you, Dr. Porter.
It's always a pleasure, Doug.
It's always a good talk with you. It's always a deep dive conversation, too. A deep dive into an immortal song recorded 57 years ago is your last piece that you did for WBGO, and this is going to be your final deep dive segment on WBGO. So yes. First of all, let's talk about Alabama and why you wanted this to wrap up the deep dive session for WBGO.
Well, you know, my whole career, in a way, as a jazz historian, I always wanted to be a player, but as a jazz historian, it really kind of took off when I realized that the last movement of Love Supreme, which is called Psalm, is based one syllable at a time on a poem that Coltrane wrote. And that was back in 1978. And ever since then, people have been saying, hey, I think Alabama is the same kind of thing. And I listened and I tried to make it fit. And everyone I know has been, you know, cutting out speeches of Martin Luther King from books and underlining things, and nobody could make anything fit. And finally, I decided I'm going to try and figure this out once for all. Now, not to disappoint anybody, but I figured out what Coltrane was doing, but I didn't finish it. I wasn't able to get every syllable lined up. But when people read it, I think they will still have their minds blown. And I'm sure there will be people out there that are going to be writing me for months to come. Hey, I've made another couple of words fit. Let me show you where they go.
Now, you've also mentioned that in this era, which has been necessarily to affirm that Black Lives Matter, John Coltrane's powerful piece, Alabama, who that's the piece we're talking about, feels more relevant now and urgent than ever.
And that's the other thing. Increasingly this year, with the Black Lives Matter movement, which is so important, I've been getting emails and Facebook messages from people saying, I've been listening to Alabama just for inspiration. You know, I don't know what the words are or what it's based on, but I know that Coltrane wrote it and recorded it exactly 2 months to the day after the funeral of those four little girls. And he called it Alabama. So there's a feeling in there, that tremendous power and a spiritual feeling that I think is very moving and is very profound.
In 2020, many people had previously been silent, you said, when it came to dealing with what they had heard. But then people started talking about it online and more, and you just mentioned that a little bit. John Coltrane just still lives, doesn't he? And it's probably one of the reasons why you have, you know, had a deep dive into John Coltrane basically your entire career.
Well, it's really true. I mean, part of the reason that I started the series with Art Tatum is that people who know I'm really interested in everything, and I have ideas about so many different things. But there was something about, I was just thinking about this yesterday, there's something about Coltrane's music that is so deep and many leveled that you can approach Alabama as a spiritual piece. You can approach it as a political piece. You can approach it as poetry. You can approach it strictly as pitches and notes and music. And even just in that way, it's fascinating and unusual. There's something about his music that there's kind of an endless amount of things that you can learn from it.
Now, you play the piano and you play a number of instruments, but you play the piano. Picking a saxophonist Was it difficult to associate yourself with such a great saxophone player and, you know, that your primary instrument is the piano?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because that's a very good question. My first two books were about Lester Young. And now I have two books about Coltrane, the history book and one that we call the John Coltrane Reference. For most of the 80s, I used to double on alto sax. And I was so enthralled by saxophonists that finally I just had to take up the sax. And then I got to the point where I felt I could bring it out to gigs. So I do have some experience on sax, being a piano player who's crazy about saxophonists.
We're speaking here with Dr. Lewis Porter. What an incredible run you've had in the educational world, retiring from Rutgers, Newark, after more than four decades of teaching. And when you look back on all this, what was the most enjoyable part of being an instructor and teaching jazz and teaching music?
Well, you know, I always said that what I was really doing was teaching critical thinking with jazz as the example or as the platform for teaching it. And I must say the most satisfying thing to this day is to run into a former student, even someone who just took a couple semesters with me, like Sean Jones or Chris Beck, and to have them say, you know, I'm still reading books and finding things of interest based on things that you inspired me to look into. And that's not musical things, by the way. Sean was reading the book Sapiens about the history of humankind, because I get into all this kind of crazy stuff, you know. And the other thing that happened, and I've saved some of them, my wife says I'm nuts, I should have saved them all, but I used to get every semester there would be a few evaluations that said this course has not only taught me about jazz, it's taught me how to think and it's changed my outlook on life, which is kind of a big deal. I'm like, wow, did I do that, you know? So I have to say, as a teacher, that's very fulfilling.
Just tell people why you decided that you wanted to retire, because you're still a young man.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for saying that. Say it a few more times. Let's see. Maybe it'll make it happen, you know. But
your wife agrees, I know.
Yeah, she does. That's true. And, well, you know, it's funny because I love teaching. I mean, I think it's clear even from our conversation that I really enjoy it. And yet there is something about teaching full time and being involved in administrative work, which I was because I was running my program, my jazz history program over there in Rutgers, Newark, and being involved in campus administration, which everybody is involved to some extent, being on committees and going to meetings and all this. There's something about that that gets to be kind of draining. And so I just decided once I had enough money saved up, I said, let me, you know, make a break for it. And to be fair, I did it in a very responsible way because I really, it wasn't at all impulsive. I actually, if you can believe this, I gave Rutgers and all my graduate students 18 months notice. I don't know anybody who's ever done that.
Wow.
But that's how far in advance I planned it, because I wanted everybody to be able to finish whatever they needed to finish. If they wanted to work on a project with me, they knew exactly how long they had. So I did it. I took my time. And when I did it, I did feel ready. And I guess the real test is, ever since then, do I wish that I were teaching full time again? And I have to be honest that I really enjoy I've been doing a lot of guest teaching. I really enjoy that, but I've not been feeling that I wish I were teaching full time again.
Mm-hmm. You have really been busy in a time frame. In April of 2020, Sunnyside Records releasing Transcendent with Brad Jones and Rudy Royston, and Ray Suvi is also part of that, a virtuoso rock jazz guitarist, a part of that Transcendent. What do you want us to know? When I was listening to it, it certainly had, you know, a great beat to it, and it kept you going. It was upbeat.
Well, it's interesting. That album has gotten some great reviews, even though for some people they might say, well, gee, this is a different direction for you. It's kind of rock oriented, and the guitar player, he plays with Cannibal Corpse and Six Feet Under. I mean, really hardcore rock bands, you know? But
look at you, Lewis.
I know.
Rocking out.
Yeah, exactly. But one of the great things about it is that he really can play. I mean, he's a terrific musician. He's just a great, great guy. And I brought in I call him first call rhythm section, Brad Jones and Rudy Royston, so that the combination just seems to work. The reviews were great, and we have a ball playing together. In fact, I did some lectures in March, but the last performance I did before the pandemic was February 29th, a leap year special performance at the Deerhead Inn with Ray Suey playing this music.
You brought it up, COVID, coronavirus pandemic. We're right in the midst of a second wave of it. The artists have been dramatically impacted by it. The clubs have been as well. Your thoughts just on how it's impacted jazz and blues in general, from that educational side, and maybe then also from a musician side.
It's really an incredible situation, of course, as you know. I had a particularly good period of gigs around the time that Transcendent was coming out. And in April and May, I had 16 gigs scheduled. Of course, none of them happened. And at that pace, there would have been many more, but nothing further was scheduled. Now, believe it or not, I've actually had 3 gigs online. And when I say gigs, I mean actual gigs where you get paid to perform. But it's a big difference. Even playing online is a big difference from playing with the people right there in the room. And I have to say that even though we have very good news that the vaccines are moving along, but even with that, I think that the scene, not only in jazz, but in a lot of other fields, has changed permanently. And I think that people will be a little skittish about crowding together into small spaces for some time to come. So one thing that's happening in the teaching and the performing is it's kind of pushed forward a little bit, the online thing that was already happening for years, you know, but now a lot of teaching, I think, is going to stay online. Certainly all my guest teaching has been online, and a lot of performing, I think, is going to be online.
So true. You had Solo Piano, Next to Silence, released in March of 2019. Beauty and Mystery with Terry Lynn Carrington, John Patitucci, and guest Tia Fuller on the Ultrasony record label in 2018, both before the pandemic came. So my question to you is, has this really a tough situation inspired you to write new music, maybe just piano?
Well, you know, it's funny. I always like to say I write Hollywood style. And what I mean by that is I wake up in the middle of the night and I go, Eureka, I've got an idea, you know. And this happens sometimes with my research, like with something like Alabama. I'll say, now, wait a second, I think I know what that's based on, you know. So I call it Hollywood style. The only thing about Hollywood style is one of my friends who's really serious about composing said that the problem with that is you don't know when you're going to write. He said, why don't you just make yourself write? So I am starting to get into a discipline of making myself write, because what happens when you do that is you just come up with stuff. You think you're not going to, but you do if you're sitting there and say, I'm going to write something right now. But so I have right now a bunch of sketches, but I need to finish them out. One thing that I did do before the pandemic is I finished 3 pretty substantial big band pieces, and those actually were performed by the Jazz Composers Alliance Big Band in Boston on December the 7th with my friend Jerry Borgonzi as a guest soloist, and also Marshall Zilks on trombone. It's pronounced Zilks. I don't know if you know that. And that was very exciting to hear my big band music played. So I'm also, with some of these sketches, thinking about possibly working them up into bigger pieces.
So you have a chance to go back in time a little bit, and you're at the dinner table And you have John Coltrane there with you, along with Lester Young. What do you want to ask these guys over a nice little drink?
Oh, my God. so many things. But about Lester, you know, he really did talk about music. People think he only talked jive talk, but there was actually a lot of information in there. So, for example, Lester Young is the one who said, I always like a solo to tell a little story. And ever since then, everybody uses that. Everybody I know, when they give a workshop for students, they go, hey, man, you got to tell a story, you know, and they don't give credit. That was Prez's thing. And what he meant, he said it should have a beginning, a middle, and an end, which was, you know, so there's more to that than you think. So things like that, I would love to have an opportunity to have them talk about that some more, maybe flesh that out some more, you know. And the other thing that he said was, sometimes I like to know the words of the songs I'm singing. So once again, you go to the workshops. Hey, man, you better know the words to every song you play. That wasn't Prez's manner. You know, he was a very sweet guy. It wasn't really the way he would have said it. Meanwhile, Coltrane, there is, you know, he was only 40 when he died. And there are so many mysteries, so many things that we still needed to know. But I can tell you this. The number one question that I always get asked is, what do we know about his spiritual beliefs? And I do talk of that. We can send people over to my deep dive, because I did talk about that in part three, the one before the Alabama. And basically, because he died so young, what we have are hints. We have some pretty good hints about what he thought. But we don't know everything, and we never will.
You can find all of the deep dives on WBGO.org. Just go to our website and you can type in Lewis Porter and you can find all of the deep dives that he has had since 2017. And for me, sadly, that this run of deep dives is coming to an end. I don't want to get political with you here, so we're not talking about any administration. But if Lester Young is Prez, would John Coltrane have been a good VP for him?
You know, John was such a humble guy. He probably would have been thrilled to be VP, and he never would have said, I should be the president, you know. So that sounds great to me. I would vote for that administration. You said it, you know.
So as we wrap up this edition with Dr. Lewis Porter, anything that you want to talk about as far as your relationship with WBGO through the years and all the listeners who have looked forward to the deep dives and your music? And I know that continues, so they're going to be able to hear you through that. But anything you want to say about the world's greatest jazz station?
Well, it's just a terrific association, and I'm sure that we'll continue to be associated in different ways. I mean, one thing that speaks very well for this station is the length of time that people stay there. I mean, you've been involved with BGO for many years. Our friend Gary Walker was awfully nice when my solo piano album came out just last year. He invited me over and I gave a solo piano concert, which is up on your website, and he interviewed me there. And you know, there's just our friend Sheila, the Queen of Hang, does her show on occasion. You know, just a great group of people, and it's so important to keep the music going. That really is the great thing. And as for myself, I've got my website, lewisporter.com. I'm also on Facebook, and people will see, even during the pandemic, I made a recording in July as a side person for a saxophonist / historian named Alan Lowe. So that'll be coming out sometime next year. And I'm always researching something or other. And it's just that they're going to be I don't want to spend as much time writing. As you say, I'm focused really on playing and the composing. So I'm going to be putting on just a little short post, a couple of paragraphs here and there, and just have to decide. It's either going to be on my own website, or I'll post a link to it. So one way or the other, people can still follow my crazy ongoings by looking at lewisporter.com.
When you're as busy as Lewis Porter is, you got to keep in shape. We know that. So your wife's looking at yoga videos. Are you participating?
You know, I do. I think yoga is great. And so sometimes I do it with her, but she's funny. Sometimes she'll say, "Hey, this is my yoga class." All right, fine, you do that one. But I let her decide, because sometimes she'll say to me, "I'd like you to do this one with me." Okay, perfect. Let's do it.
As always, a pleasure talking to you, Lewis. And Dr. Porter, they don't come any better than you. So congratulations on an incredible run as an educator. And I know you're still popping in and teaching here and there. And obviously, we wish you continued success with your music. And thanks for all you've done for WBGO. And thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal.
Well, thanks much, Doug, and back at you, as they say.